program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight.
There we go. All right, we're live.
All right.
Right now, Nora's co-hosting with me out of Chicago, and I'm sitting here in California, and this is basically the last bastion of freedom for anybody. We don't have to answer to anybody. We can say anything we like. We don't have to give reasons on why we say it. If you agree to disagree, the call-in number is 347-826-7753. I was gonna open up right away with a video and George Carlin, but what I'd like to do is I'm gonna refresh this page here and see if we can pick up the first couple of minutes of Obama, but. I changed my mind on that one because I'm going to play this one part right here.
Officially, it is expected to expand on the broad themes he laid out last month in Osawatomie, Kansas. Take a listen.
I believe that this country succeeds when everyone gets a fair shot. When everyone does their fair share. When everyone plays by the same rules.
Obama, you guys are indicating President Obama is going to hit on tonight, and he says, you know, as far as policy is concerned, nothing has changed. Fair critique?
No, I think a couple things. One, well, the themes you'll hear from President Obama tonight are themes that we've heard from President Obama his entire career, dating back to when he went to turn down higher paying jobs.
Well, everybody agrees. I think it's going to be more bullshit, so we'll cancel that one out. But tonight's topic is whoever controls the media. Let's see. Whoever controls the media controls the mind. That was by Jim Morrison back in the early 70s. But what I have is we're going to start out with Mr. Carlin and his American dream. And the reason they say call it the American dream, they say he says you have to be asleep to believe it. So, see what happens here. Everything's running a little slow. Them guys are trying to play games from the other side now. So if a song starts up, it's not me. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do as everybody knows.
But there's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. It's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Nora?
I agree. People just, I don't know, if they just are too lazy to see it, or they don't want to see it, or they think things are going to change. At this point, it's just getting worse. It's not getting better.
Right. Yeah. And basically, you know, it goes on to another one where it's like, you know, they say, well, Generation Gimme worked for the American dream.
Right.
An eye-opening insight to America's youth. And this is another video I'm going to play. This is, and I'll put the, you can put that in the chat room, though.
Okay. I was doing that right now.
Welcome back. A lesson about the American dream. And all you parents and kids out there cannot afford to miss this segment. Joining us right now is economics professor at Valencia College down in Florida, Jack Chambliss. Jack, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. I understand on one of the first days of your class, which is predominantly sophomores, you asked the kids to get out, write a 10-minute essay on what the American dream means to them. And this year, the results were jaw-dropping. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, in addition to asking them what the American dream looks like for them, I then had them write specifically what they wanted the federal government to do to help them achieve that dream.
Right.
I took the essays from three classes, about 180 students, back to my office, and over the next day pored over them. About 10% of the students said that they wanted the government to leave them alone and not tax them too much and let them regulate their own lives. But over 80% of the students said that the American dream to them meant a house and a job and plenty of money for retirement and vacations and things like this. But when it came to the part about the federal government, 8 out of 10 students said that they wanted free health care, they wanted the government to pay for their tuition, they wanted the government to pay for the down payment on their house, they expected the government to, quote, give them a job. Many of them said that they wanted the government to tax wealthier individuals so that they would have an opportunity to have a better life.
I tell you what, Jack, we've got a little snippet from one of the essays one of the kids wrote. As human beings, we are not really responsible for our own acts, and so we need government to control those who don't care about others. Now, as you describe it, where the kids said, you know, they want to go to college, they want the down payment, free health care, have they been watching? Do you feel that that is from this whole Occupy movement? They feel like they're part of the 99 and they want the 1% to give them the rest of their lives?
Well, this essay was written before the Occupy movement really took hold. So fundamentally, they had this belief before people in their cohort group took to the streets to demand the same sorts of things that they wrote that they expected in this essay that they wrote for me.
Well, where do you think this sense of entitlement comes from?
Well, certainly I think a big part of it comes from the public schools. When I start talking to my students over the semester and ask them how much time the public schools spend on the principles of John Locke or Adam Smith or Hayek or some of the other people who very clearly said that we have a God-given right to life, liberty, and property, but the government doesn't have a responsibility to provide things for us. When I ask them how much of this they learn in their classes, K through 12, they stare at me and they say, well, we've never heard these sorts of things. So the public schools are part of it. I do think that the last 20 years or so we've seen a growing sense of entitlement by the American people. As you probably have read, that we're in a situation now where 44% of the American people now are living off of some sort of government benefit compared to only 29% back in the early 80s.
Right.
And I also think the last 3 years of having a president that appealed to the younger generation by saying that somehow people who are wealthier are a problem for us, much like Franklin Roosevelt told people 70 years ago,
right.
And that these people somehow should be sending their money to others, I think this is really caught on with a lot of students,
right.
and they believe now that somehow the Tooth Fairy exists in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, dressed as Uncle Sam. Before you go, you got to tell me about the experiment you do in your class where you're essentially a pickpocket.
Well, yes. When I went back to class the next time to meet with them, I told them I'd read over their essays and I read some of the comments they had made, and then I set them on a table and I asked everybody to pull out their wallets and their purses. And I picked one student in each class, and when their wallet was in their hand, I grabbed their wallet out forcefully, and in one case I grabbed the girl's purse, and I rifled through her purse, pulled out her wallet, pulled out all of her cash, and I said that part of my American dream was to have a cabin in northern Minnesota someday so I could have a nice retirement, this money was now going to help fund that American dream. And, of course, that set in motion explanation on why using the government to plunder people to support our American dream is fundamentally morally wrong, constitutionally wrong, and leads to a lot of economically bad events if we let that idea gain ground.
He's a professor of economics at Valencia College down in Florida. Jack, you better go back to class because you've got a lot of heads to fill.
We'll keep trying. Thank you.
No kidding. We thank you very much for joining us live.
My pleasure.
All right.
Okay. We're going to take Hello, caller. Take 50.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah,
how are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing very fine.
Good. How are you guys doing? All right?
We're doing fine. How are you?
All right. My, there seems to be a lot of things going on.
So, yeah, Bobby, tell us what's going on, man.
Okay. Well, you're probably aware of this already, Phil, since I saw you out there on Facebook on the invitation here. But one of the things I wanted to bring up right off the bat is because it's coming up in July, and I think it gives those of us that wish to get involved time to plan around it. What I'd like to talk about first is the L.A. Calendar Motorcycle Show. I believe it's the 21st anniversary this year. And for many years, it's been at the Queen Mary location down there in Long Beach. This year, it's actually moved to another venue. It's at some country club here. I'll find that information in a minute. However, it might have changed venues, but at least since I've been associated at looking at this, the promoter, Jim Garyanis, I believe, from... Yeah, so he maintains a very selective and restrictive motorcycle club not allowed color policy, and it's pretty blatant, and I don't know about anybody else, but it really incensed me to a great degree, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so basically in the past, there were two things that... they basically made very clear. Tried to make a distinction. Now, bear in mind, this is a motorcycle event, right? Although it's typically high-end custom motorcycles and gear, it's still with vendors and everything else. It's girls, you name it. It's still a motorcycle event, yet, you know, they disallow motorcycle clubs, and I'll go into that in a little bit. So basically, if you go to their website, and they've started promoting this, I think, early part of this year, and they maintain a page there that has their policies. One of them says, ask the question, are club colors allowed? And the response is, the LA Calendar Show is held on private property at the private Calabasas Country Club. This is for this year. The country club and show have the right to deny admission to anyone. Then they go on to say, please leave your hardcore biker club jackets and shirts at home, or you may not be admitted. No weapons of any type allowed, with full body pat down and metal scan search before admission. And this is the key part for me. They go on to say, exceptions will be made for known law-abiding sport bike and touring clubs and for motorcycle brand apparel at our discretion. But still expect to leave your biker club patch jackets at your bike or carry them under your arm in the show.
Yeah, he's been doing that for a little while now. And last year, I went up there, and Bill and I went up, and we checked everything out, and we went up there. I went up there to challenge that, and basically, I got told if I didn't take off the shirt I was wearing, I was going to go to jail, because the Long Beach police weren't taking any shit from anybody. If you got off the freeway and went right in, you were okay. But if you drove anywhere in Long Beach on any of the streets to get there, they fucked with everybody.
That was the second issue back then. And remember, this was in around the same week. This actually was the same week as Carmageddon.
Right.
They closed the major freeway. But, they did say basically that, in order to avoid, and they weren't even really asking in a nice way, right? They were saying, hey, if you don't want to get ridden up for loud pipes, then you'll, take a route to the event off the freeway and not through residential areas. So they basically were set up to pull bikes over, I'm sure, although I haven't gotten any confirmations on that part of it.
Well, I've seen them get a few. I had to pull over because my shifter, my forward controls, it decided it wanted to brake going 70 miles an hour down the freeway. And pulled over to the side. Bill pulled over. We got off, and I was getting a couple of zip ties out of my bag, and they pulled up. And they wanted to know what I had in my saddlebags, why I locked it back up right away when I seen them. I said, because if you ain't got a warrant, you ain't looking at shit.
Interesting. Yeah, so again, we're looking at it again. Now, I'll tell you, last year, I didn't even really catch wind of this until probably, late June. So I started calling people and figuring out what we can do. From a legal perspective, from just a mass amount of bodies going down there, perhaps boycotting. And we ended up actually engaged in sort of a mini sort of debate confrontation on Facebook promoter. And here's a couple of things that he said about it. This was from last year. And he's been more careful this year not to say anything like that. He's got a party line type of write-up that he's been throwing out there in lieu of a lot of responses to his policy. But I'll share with you what he had last year, and I don't think it's really changed. Fellow bikers, you are helping to kill our sport and the motorcycle industry, which has declined some 70% in the last 4 years. If you are influenced by such and such name, I'm not going to say who, stupid idea of boycott over the remaining quality motorcycle events like the LA Calendar Motorcycle Show, which are trying to keep the sport alive. And his comments around no pipes. Why shouldn't the city of Long Beach not ticket some inconsiderate rider with straight pipes on his Harley riding, blasting down a quiet residential street at 8 to 10 a.m. on a weekend morning? I hate it when I hear piped Harleys from a quarter miles away fire up in my neighborhood on a Saturday morning. Your freedom to be a jerk does not have the right to infringe on somebody else's freedom to have peace and quiet. As our website says, just write to the show on the freeway and you won't be a chance have a chance of being ticketed. So that's to your point, Phil, coming off the freeway. And then where he talks about club colors, when biker gangs wearing colors, club colors, stop killing each other at biker events, we will be happy to change this policy. We do it to protect you. Murderers at the Easy Rider show at the Queen Mary back in the early 90s and at Laughlin about 7 years ago forced this policy at both the Queen Mary location and at Laughlin Bike Week casinos. We like to be selective and let good Harley and sport bike clubs wear their colors to the show, but then the bad biker clubs and the ACLU then have grounds to sue for discrimination. So, needless to say, he definitely has his opinion. And the interesting thing also that I find rather interesting is that their number one sponsor for this event, it is for this year, it was for last year, and I don't know if it was for this year, is Russ Brown, Motorcycle Attorneys, right? So these are the guys who come back to, you know, that advertise, we ride, we care, you know, we work for you, and then they'll put a, you know, they'll stand by the promoter here with any type of a policy like this. So, thoughts at this point? I don't want to go on ranting here. I want to get some input.
But, you know, that guy, he's been doing that on and off. And then, you know, when you go to look for him to talk to him, you can't find him. When people, when you know, when the word gets out, somebody wants to talk to him, he disappears.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems to incense a lot of people, at least down in the L.A. area. There's sort of a mini grassroots, you know, anti-L.A. calendar show brewing. And I sort of support it because, you know, the state really needs sort of a poster child to sort of rally around. Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of establishments up and down California, including casinos and everything else, that do bar colors and patches. And there's a lot of argument in some cases, a lot of misnomers about knowledge of the law that pertaining to what private and public establishments can and can't do with their policies. So, I mean,
right.
So the whole thing right now is trying to determine, you know, what is really the law, whether it falls under UNRU, the Civil Rights Act, or anything else that really prevents pubs from being able to take any type of civil action against event types like this. And then
well,
if we were – go ahead.
Well, you know, I made a couple of calls when I first heard about this, and I'm trying to get some insights, getting to see if we can cite how we can get them cited or served on that day for discrimination. And I haven't got all the answers that I was looking for yet, so I don't want to say too much. But as soon as I find out, you guys are going to hear about it. It'll be right.
The thing we can pursue, at least right now, for those that are interested, because it seems like there's, you know, sort of a mini groundswell, and the fact that we are, you know, 5 months out still gives us plenty of time to socialize this, is the possibility of actually, you know, going about it the right way, getting a permit and exercising our First Amendment right to demonstrate peacefully, you know, go down there. Try to, you know, leverage contact and make some leverage with media. Bring a lawyer down there. You know, try to walk into the event with patches on and document all that good stuff, and sort of take this to the next level around awareness and practical application as to what can be done with it. Because, again, there's so many establishments. You try to take one on and you might get that resolved, but it really doesn't address the issue. You're really going to have to
And what the city that Oceanside does down here is when they see anybody, you know, go to a certain bar, or they, you know, they make one or three trips to that bar, they kind of like hang out around there, and then once everything, you know, everybody's calm and collective and they're, you know, they're having a good time, they come in and they want to start checking fucking bottles for fruit flies. They start checking IDs. They start fucking around with people, you know. One of the bars, the cops fucked with everybody that went to that bar so bad that the bar is no longer there. The guy went out of business because nobody wanted to go there. Nobody. He was open for straight and just shut the fucking doors because he wasn't making any money.
Well, I mean, that's one way to attack things, right, Phil? I mean, obviously, if they don't want to serve all classes of people, people have the right to not go and patronize, right? So that impacts them to some degree in their wallet. And, you know, again, based on situation, you might be able to successfully do that with an establishment, but it doesn't eliminate the issue statewide. There is no, as far as I know, civil relief to be able to go in and say, you just can't do that. It's unconstitutional. It's against, you know, the Civil Rights Act. You know, take it down or go to court. I mean, that's how I'd like it to be. And
well, what I did was I belong with Hank McGrath from the East Coast, and they have a thing called Bikers Against Discrimination.
Yeah,
and,
I've seen that site, yep.
Yeah, and what I did was, on all the bar, like I don't drink, but I'll go down to the bar, and I back in, get off, two or three guys, we all walk down, we get a cup of coffee, and we do a stroll. And the stroll that we do, like when we get there, there's not one cop downtown, you can't find the fucking cop till we pull in.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they spot our bikes and we're not there, they're out of their cars and they're walking around to find us. To see what we're doing and where we're going. So
Go ahead, Phil. Sorry.
So by the time we make the block, we walk two blocks down, a block over, a block up, two blocks back, and a half a block up, and we're right back where we started from. And I'm telling you, honest to God, anywhere from 6 to 8 motherfuckers on both sides of the street following us.
Well, and the reason why I almost interrupted you, and I apologize for that, is, you know, organizations such as Bolt, and it's even getting out in some of the other motorcycle rights organizations Abate and MMA of California as well, that's important for folks that have the capability to videotape the police, either videotaping or surveilling, taking pictures. We really need to be able to have quite a bit of documented documentation to build a body of evidence for us to potentially put together a case later on down the road. But we need a lot of help to do that. Obviously, I can't be in zillions of places at once. And then we have to have a place to bring it all in. So we need to somehow figure out a way to communicate with all the motorcycle riding communities across the state and appeal to them to try to document as much of these discriminatory practices and surveillance tactics by law enforcement and gang task force to show that there's an issue here, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got an issue right now where there's three guys walking around claiming they're fucking ATF guys. And they're claiming affiliations with one club, and then they had two other yahoos show up the other night from another club, from up north, northeast, San Bernardino area, and down and people were like, "Hey man, do you know where you're at? We don't give a fuck, all that bullshit, you know." But then as soon as the strength and numbers started showing up, they boogied. But
right.
There's five guys running around down here claiming affiliations with and they're all ATF guys.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, there have been a number of reports. I'm not sure if you ever heard of another freedom fighter called the Aging Rebel who has this blog and books who talk more of an investigative writer, very well, very articulate, a very good writer. You know, who talks and discuss about the whole, you know, Mongol situation and infiltration, and the potential that, well, I guess the alleged activity of them potentially being, you know, the ones that were behind some of the murders and things down there. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me to what ends law enforcement or federal agencies will go through, since they invest so much time and energy to come out with nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah. They'll play dirty. They'll do whatever it takes to continue their crusade of fear federal funding.
Yeah, they'll bust some poor dumb fucker with a half a bag of weed in his pocket, and okay, we'll let you go if you tell us this, and you find out about these guys and these guys, and you friend these guys and friend me, and then come and tell us everything that you hear, everything. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, the whole purpose of this thing, of the L.A. calendar show, is more of an introductory to an issue that I'm hopeful we'll continue to discuss over time. It's just, you know, sort of sticking a stake in the ground right now and socializing it. And then
because if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, you know, and here's the thing I look at too, Phil. This is, you know, we're looking at an election for the first time in a long time. People are actually talking about issues due to certain politicians like Ron Paul are actually talking about real issues, particularly those in the area of freedom and liberty. And so now, you know, it would seem that we can potentially leverage that because, you know, all politicians now are going to have some common thread in that in their own platforms as they run for statewide legislation to try to find some support there in lieu of, in the civil rights area. So maybe it's just a fantasy on my part, but I'm hopeful that, you know, 2012 will be a year that we can get some stuff potentially addressed. If not completely, at least bring it into the conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's bring Nora in on this one. What do you think about all that, Nora?
Yeah, I was just going to say if it was all right for me to get involved in this. Now, Bobby, this is first I've seen because I didn't see what you posted on Phil's wall. So hearing this for the first time, I'm in Chi-Town, okay, so I'm not in California. But it amazes me, why do they want to go to such extremes? There could be certain things of what not to bring into an event. We all understand that. But in regards to shirts, attire, what is the problem there? Okay, because there are events that take place in your state, if I'm not correct, where they can wear their colors.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, because I'm not down, you know, in that area, that even Long Beach itself has had other events historically there with no issues, no restrictive policies like that. It was just this. And it sort of amazes me, or actually it didn't really amaze me, that when it moved, the policies remained the same. So my theory on the whole thing is this. You know, they want – this is an event, even though it is in the, you know, motorcycle area, it's a commercialized, exploitative version of, you know, of the biker lifestyle, right?
Or
and
what
they
you
don't
can
want,
do and what you can't do, right.
Well, but, yeah, it's really targeted. It's not meant for mass consumption. Sure,
right.
Do they want their venue filled? Of course. Because it looks good, but that's not the major issue. They want to attract business enterprises there. Because all their stuff, again, is high-end, right?
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you right now. California is fucking broke, okay?
Well, so is Illinois.
All right. Well, most of the United States is fucking broke. Let's break it down in a nutshell.
Right.
And that cocksucker's on TV lying to everybody right now as we speak. I don't care.
What
I'm trying to say is they're all doing it for revenue.
Exactly.
They're all doing it for revenue.
Okay, let me say this real quick, Bobby. Where I reside in my state, okay, I'm a / residential commercial road is what I reside off from. So there are motorcycles that go up and down the street from 2 a.m., and up. Nobody complains. It's almost like if you live behind a commuter train station. Okay. Here, it's like... It
when I lived over there off of...
give any problems.
Well, when I lived over there off of Lake Street, I used to... And I had my own apartment on the third floor, right the same height as DL. Woke me up
right.
every night. Who was I going to complain to?
But you know what? You get used to the noise, and you don't even pay attention to it, is what I'm talking about. They have poker runs here on Sundays. They're going all over the place. You can see them in a pack of anywhere from 10 to 100 at a time. Nobody says anything. This is normal
right.
here. So
let
this
me
is
add
why
to me that size and control. That's basically
right.
what it boils
exactly,
down to.
Exactly, because I can't understand why they would give an issue for side road, for motorcycles to go down the side streets there than what takes place here.
What they did in Long Beach last year was they drove everybody to the streets because they told them the freeway was closed down. They drove them to the streets so they could give out tickets. Basically, that's what it was. It was all entrapment.
I guess if you start digging into the law and it falls into sort of tort law and one's ability to enjoy one's privacy, which include without loud noises, which I guess could be viewed as intrusive. That's one thing. But it seems like law enforcement and the feds are basically going after every facet of motorcyclists and riding conditions and apparel and everything else and making it just miserable, life miserable for everybody.
So last Thursday, I'm going to tell you right now, last Thursday, this is a true story. I got off work. I stopped at Bill's shop. I walked in, he goes, you ain't going to believe what happened last night. I go, what happened? He goes, you know that kid he was standing in here the other day and told him about that knife in his pocket? I said, yeah. And I said, why, what happened? And he goes, he got pulled over downtown. And I said, really? What'd they pull him over for? He said, well, the cop saw the knife in his back pocket. So he pulled him over and he asked the kid he wanted to see the knife. So when the kid handed him the knife, he did my favorite thing. He asked for a receipt. The guy gave him back the knife, told him, you know what, if he sees him downtown again, he'll arrest him for a felony for carrying a concealed weapon, but don't come downtown with a knife no more. So he ended the whole thing by when I started with him about what I told everybody was if they take something, if you take it out of your possession and you put it in their hand, ask for a receipt.
Of course, because otherwise you didn't have it. They can say you didn't have it.
No. When you go down and you ask for it back, now it becomes part of the record. Because like Bill told you, they took a knife away from him and his brother. And the knife disappeared for 6 weeks because they said they couldn't find it. Then they found it. Then they couldn't find it.
Yeah, I think you got somebody else who wants to jump on here, and I got a couple of other things. But again, you know, I just wanted to initiate the socialization discussion around this. So there's probably going to be lots of inputs in here about it being illegal under, you know, the First Amendment and ever. But there are supposedly some type of holes in the UNRU Act that were cited in court of law. We can talk about that, maybe not necessarily tonight. I'm still pulling that together.
Yeah, no, I got a person I could call for that because we went through that just 2 weeks before the show at Long Beach. We went through it over there and off of Bikers and Blues Festival, which two of my friends were the masters of ceremonies. Which when we went to do that one, they were all for it. The Boys and Girls Club, they didn't care. Okay,
mm-hmm.
When it came time to get ready to go for a ride, 20 minutes before 5,000 bikes are going to head to the Irvine Lake, they walked over and told this gentleman he needed to take off his colors, which, you know, the response to that was, and we left on our own little pack.
Right. Well, Nora, I don't know if you have anybody else queued up here. I will.
Ryan's been unmuted.
Well, we do, but Bobby, please keep us informed on what's going on.
Oh no, okay, all right.
Because I'm interested in this as well, because I
find
it amazing, you know. And
what I'd like to do, then is I'm gonna go down the line and see who's got a question, who doesn't. I'm gonna start with the longest one first.
He's been on hold for about 15 minutes, so let me start with him, and then Ryan, we can come back to you in a minute, okay?
Hey, not a problem, man.
All right. Hello, Pete. Did you want to comment on this or have a question?
I'd like to have something. I can say something that's...
Well, can I say hello first to everybody? Gino, before you cut me off?
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Nora. Hello, Phil. Who else we got on?
Hey, Pete.
Bye.
Ryan?
Yep, hey, Pete.
Bobby, right? Bobby. Is that Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make sure I say hi to everybody. Okay, Gino, go ahead.
We dropped Bobby, but we'll get him back.
Okay.
I like just to say, everything that's going on, Jesus, you know, like, there was a tape, it was called AFFA, and there was a cop on there telling everybody, you know, and it's strange that nobody understood it wasn't just about Hell's Angels. It was this undercover cop setting people up, maybe shooting members off their bikes. And if anybody saw the tape, that didn't tell you, and the tape was come out in 78. And the cop says the cop gave him a right to do drugs, shoot anybody, and do whatever they could to get rid of any biker that they could get their hands on. And their first target was Hell's Angels, because they figured Hell's Angels, once they destroyed the Angels, the rest would fall easy.
Instead, it backfired on him and made him more stronger.
That's right. They'll never stop. They'll keep getting stronger.
Well, yeah, everyone gets stuck because everyone understands what's going on in some way. And then they ask yourself, why are you against drugs? Look what they do. That's another problem. And that's why the federal government, they use, because the use of drugs, they use it against bikers and street gangs for a reason. And I'm not an advocate. And first of all, Ron Paul, that guy's got a great idea, but he's going to be dead by the time he gets there.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. But it comes from the 70s all the way to now, and we've come to this point. We've come to this point to understand what's going on. We're losing
right.
our freedom. We are losing our freedom every day because they create laws on top of other laws. Remember DeLorean, when he beat because of entrapment, they changed that law as soon as they lost that case against DeLorean.
Of course.
For that. Entrapment's their biggest thing. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay. Everybody's, this is what it's for, man. Everybody's here to, you can give your own opinion or form one or whatever. Pete, you got anything to add to this, or I'm going to go to another caller?
Okay.
No, Gino must have stole the words out of my mouth. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm listening. You can go to your next call, as you know, I don't feel well tonight, so I'm just listening.
I get your ass to the doctor.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm going,
I hope you feel
tomorrow
better
morning.
Soon, Pete.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
All right.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
All.
All right. Okay.
Love you, too.
All right, 403, you're live.
Hey, good evening, Phil. How are you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad, my brother. Just saying hello to everybody on the panel. Yeah, I was just listening in on that, and, I mean, we have the same thing here in Canada. Entrapment is such a big issue. Like you guys were saying, they'll take you right off the highway, make you take the little side roads, and then they have check stops everywhere, and they will nail you. And as the one fella mentioned, taking off colors, for a police officer, like, we don't have ATF out here. We have our own version of ATF, but they will. They'll walk right up to the biker and take his patch right off. They will ask, and they know it's going to be a refusal. And then they know damn well they just lit a fuse. And as I said earlier, all they did was feed the monster, because it made the brothers stronger, more angry, you know, and then they wonder where they get the strength from. We're doing
yeah.
the right thing. We're doing the right thing. We're following the laws that are issued by the federal government. We're hired to do this. but the brothers are getting stronger. They're getting meaner. Why are we getting shot at? Why are we being threatened? Our families are being threatened. Get the fuck off the brothers' backs. Independent patch wearers, whatever. We are human beings. We have our rights to speak. We have our rights to carry a certain length of a knife, like you say. They'll give you, you mentioned a receipt. Ask for a receipt. In Canada, if you ask for a receipt to get your knife back, the sons of bitches will use that against you in court. Now you're admitting that you did carry that knife because you have a fucking receipt. So you're
That's
fucked.
Okay.
And they will. They'll hang you right there. They'll say, oh, were you carrying a knife? And then you start pondering on that question, like, and you don't have an attorney because most of the times we're pretty well educated when it comes to the law. So I beat a lot of cases without attorneys. And then so now you're going, shit, do I mention the fucking receipt? Yeah, I want my knife back. And then they will hang you. They'll use it against you. Now you just admitted that you had that knife. Legal or not, they'll just try to push you in the corner and try to make you look worse than what you actually are. You're not a bad guy. You're carrying a knife. You're in a funeral procession, for fuck's sakes. And now you're going to use a little fucking 4-inch knife against me?
Well, that's like me when I ride around with a 3-pound ball peen hammer on top of my saddlebag. It's not against the law to carry a hammer. Make it a felony if I put my name on it, which would make it personal.
Well, exactly.
This Yahoo decided to tell me to put it in my saddlebag, and I told him, no, I don't think so. Well, why not? Because then you'll tell me it's a concealed weapon and you want to arrest me. It's going to stay right where it is. According to the California Highway Patrol, as long as it's on top of the bag and zip tied to the strap, I can carry it legally.
Exactly. As long as the public can see it with their eyes, you know, it's a tangible thing, you know. It's not a hidden object. It don't matter. Crescent wrench, hammer, ball peen, it don't matter. Anything is a weapon to them now.
Right.
You know, you can't even carry a fucking tool bag in a sense because they can say, well, you got two hammers. What do you need two hammers for? One for somebody's head.
Well, you call a claw hammer within arm's reach inside the car either.
Exactly, exactly.
But I had an interesting one last Sunday. I was out in, they did a ride for this little kid, Joshua. He had spina bifida. His caretaker wanted at least 100 bikes, but ended up being over 2,200 bikes showed up for this kid. He wanted him to do a drive-by by his house. So after I was done with that, I'm on my way getting onto the freeway. There's four guys, we're all riding black Dynas, we're all wearing black face shields, can't see our faces. They pulled us over, wanted me to take off my jacket so he could see my tattoos. And this is what I told him. You know, I don't have any tattoos on my arms. I don't have any tattoos on my back or my chest. I just have one on my dick. And the guy looked at me and I said, it's a $100 bill. Because one, I like to play with my money. Too well, I have to watch it grow.
Ain't that a fact, eh? But, you know, it falls back down to control.
Wait, the look
like
on his face.
What is the point, Phil, of asking a brother to fucking show his tattoos? The only way that they are allowed to do that is if you are convicted, you're charged with something. Now they're going to fingerprint you. Now they're going to take your mugshot. Now they want to know exactly what kind of tattoos you have, where they are, what kind of design they are. But on the street, to pull you over and ask you a personal question like that, that man deserves a punch in the face.
That's why I told him what I told him. The look on his face, it was a Kodak moment. But I didn't want to reach for anything because I didn't want to give him any chance to do anything. So when I said that to him, he kind of chuckled a little bit, handed me back my stuff, went to the next guy, same shit. Everybody heard what I said and everybody repeated what I said. And we're all saying this through our visors because they told us to take off our helmets and we all refused.
Yeah.
I don't have to take off my helmet.
But where do they get the audacity to even fucking come on to somebody in that fashion? Like, can I piss against a fucking tree? Is my piss so nuclear, you know, it's so poisonous you can't even piss against a tree anymore?
No. You'll be arrested for indecent exposure.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That is, the laws are crushing us, man.
Then you got to register as a sex offender.
Well, maybe in a week from now we'll have to register our dicks, you know, to hang a fucking piss. I've been on a bike for five hours. I'm on the side of the road. Can I not hang a piss? What the fuck's the matter with you people?
You
go
can
ahead,
do that if you're a man. What about if you're female? What are you going to do? Hang your boobs?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I've got a lot of beautiful women riders, man. You got to go. They squat. They hang a piss. You know, you got to go. You got to go. What are you going to do, man?
Exactly. I know.
Point of the government controlling people went to hang a piss. Went to carry a ball peen hammer because your fucking starter is starting to fuck up on your bike. You just need to tap it a little bit so to get her going again. They find everything and anything to use against you. It is so stupid. If there's not a little civil war that's going to start in the next few years, I will be shocked to shit. Because there's going to be some motherfuckers getting dropped here. Because people are getting really tired. I'm not saying I'm out threatening police officers or anything, but I'll tell you right now, they'd be the first.
Wait. I want everybody to understand one thing, okay? One thing, actually a couple things. I'm not adversarial against the police.
Exactly. Me neither.
I'm not. I'll go to my grave that way, okay? I'm not adversarial against them. What I'm adversarial against is the fuckers that overstep their boundaries, that think because they carry that fucking badge and a gun, it gives them the right to do whatever they want. And then when they do it and they get it busted off in their ass and they get told that you fucked up, they don't show up in court.
Yeah. The worst ones are either rookies or the sergeant that's ready to retire. He wants to make that big fucking name for himself before he goes home and is not working anymore. I'm going to leave a mark. I'm going to fuck up every biker I can possibly get my hands on. Independent patch wearers don't matter. Or that little rookie that just got his badge. He wants to make his shit stink so bad that he wants to be known as an asshole.
Yeah. Well,
and they do.
Like I said, when we walk around and we come back, you know, they'll be like over there looking at the bike. So I'll set my coffee cup on the ground. I'll take off my jacket. I throw over my license plate. The guy goes, what, are you being a smartass? No, I'm warm. I took off my jacket. Well, I need to get your plate. Well, I've been gone for 20 minutes. You've been standing here for a half hour. If you ain't got it by now, you're going to have to wait till I leave.
Exactly. Like what out here in Canada, I don't know if they do that in the States a lot. You get pulled over. They demand that you shut your engine off. They want you to shut your bike off.
I went
5 kilometers over the speed limit. This was just about 3 months ago. Get pulled over. All right, fuck, the lights are on. The lights are on. I get pulled over. Automatically, the first fucking question they ask me, can you shut your bike off, please? The answer is no. Why? Why do I have to shut my bike off? If I'm going to peel away from you, you're going to be on my ass. You're going to be phoning in for reinforcements.
Am I being detained?
Exactly. It's just the way of just saying you're going to do what I'm going to tell. I'm telling you what to do, sir. And then you look at them and go, no, you're not telling me shit. By the law, I don't have to shut off my fucking bike. You can hear what I'm saying. You get pulled over in the car. You have to stay in the vehicle. You can't get out of the vehicle because right away they think it's a threat towards them. I'm stretching my legs, man. I want to know why you're pulling me over. Can I not talk to you standing up? I have to sit in my car. There's no place for us to breathe anymore.
No.
And they wonder why the brothers are getting pissed off. Independent people, whatever. Grandma Jones from across the street. They pick on everybody. They just got to push and push and push. And that's why I use that word communism. People think there's no communism in the States or in Canada. You guys are fucking dreaming, man. It's right in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Because people are letting it happen. Like, there's got to be some
marks. Did you want to comment on anything?
Huh? You talking to me?
I'm talking to Stacy.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Nora. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Oh, I could talk for hours on this subject. It just burns in me, you know, when it comes down to colors and the clothing stuff. Because, I mean, do you tell a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout to remove, you know, their things? Do you tell a veteran of war to remove his hat? That's shows, his stripes, his colors, whatever you want to call that. You know, would you tell a nurse to take off her uniform? To me, it's just, it's an invasion. It's an invasion of, you know, pushing authority, you know, and back to that caller that just called in, I think, with they try to prove their authority beyond their means. And, you know, if you're going to pull a person over or harass a person or do whatever you got to do, why in the world do you ask them to remove their articles of clothing?
Because I'll tell you right now, the way I see it, it's because the people that are targeted the most, like the brothers flashing the colors, whatever, they've had RICO used against
them.
And that RICO Act, they will melt you down with it. Even if you're not part of, like, say, a major raid on a RICO Act, it doesn't matter. You're a biker, and right away they dirty your name. It don't matter if you're associated, just a friend, full patch wearer. It does not matter. They've used RICO against bikers before, and every damn biker, all the good brothers out there, are going to get fucking smacked on the fingers, even if they have never been charged with the RICO Act. They will use that against them.
But you know what? It's taken a person's pride and individuality away from them.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm a female, you know, I sit on the sidelines, or so to say, but it's still wrong. And, you know, if anybody ever came up to me while I was wearing a support shirt or whatever and told me, you know, either remove the clothing or leave, you know, whatever, I would not remove my article of clothing at all, you know, because that's just the way I feel, and I'm very stubborn when it comes to that stuff.
It's the government's way of raping you.
Yeah, exactly.
We have bars in Canada that will not allow you to walk through the door if you have anything with the Harley design on it. Necessarily a support shirt.
That's ridiculous.
Just Harley Davidson. Right away, I got kicked out of a bar one day for wearing an old Iron Horse T-shirt from Calgary here. The shop has been closed down since 1978. I walked outside after I beefed with the fucking bouncers. I turned my shirt inside out, which I should never have done, but I walked back in, and he went, "Well, you still got the shirt on." I says, "You can't see the logo." He says, "Yeah, but I know it's there."
Hmm.
Well,
he got his head
kicked in, man. Four brothers walked in, backed me up, and they just destroyed the bouncer, kicked the living shit right out of him.
I'm wondering what they would do with me. I have eyeglasses that I wear for distance. I have astigmatism, and the Harley Davidson eyeglasses. You know, it's got the logo right on the, you know, the little piece
of paper. Yeah, but then they would be imparting you. That would be 100% illegal. There's no way in hell they would ever win that in court. If you drag that in court, and I wish you would, if that ever happened, drag their ass in court right away.
Another thing, when you guys were talking about rookie cops or the sergeant that wants to get, you know, the last notch under his belt, I myself, and I mean, it's nothing that I like to boast about, but Nora knows all about this. I myself, a couple of weeks back, got into a little shuffle with the local authorities over here. And when, you know, the officer came up to me and he started asking me questions, well, I answered his question with a question. And just by doing that, it infuriated him so much. He just pulled out the cuffs, started slapping me around, cuffed me up. And, you know, I get the assault and battery, the disorderly conduct, and the resisting arrest. Needless to say, I fought all the charges in court, and it's all dismissed. But, you know, because I didn't give him the answer he wanted to hear, he immediately just, you know, "I'm guilty, take me away."
You put him in this fucking place, and good for you. You got backbone. I love you for that. Good for you.
And I went to court for four times before it was dismissed, but I was determined to stand my ground, you know.
You made an example out of that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I tell everybody, answer a question with a question.
Exactly.
Like if they ask me, where are you going?
What I'm saying. People have to start binding each other together and fighting these bastards one at a time, or the whole fucking lot of them. People sit back and let these sons of a bitches dictate to you your life, well, then we're going to lose. Well, like, I mean, like, the marches in the 60s, people arm in arm. Like even Martin Luther King, what he did. I mean, that, it was amazing at that point. I'm not talking races or anything like that, but we're talking individuality, the rights to carry your colors, the rights to speak, the right to talk to a cop with your visor down. I don't have to remove my bandana. I just got off the highway. You know, my green teeth are full of bugs already, you know. You can hear my voice through the bandana. No, you got to take it off so I can see your nose. You know, what the hell is that? What is that?
Well, I live on the state line of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. 5 minutes up the road, I'm in one state. 5 minutes down the road, I'm in the other. And the DA of Fall River, Massachusetts, in that area, the southeastern area, his name is Sam Sutter. And he's now running for, I believe it's Congress. But his big deal when he was always on TV and everything else was he arrested everybody for one of the charges, and if you look up like his record, you will see it's like on everybody that got basically canned by him is That's great. It's
if you're stuttering, he must have really pissed you off.
He did. That's the thing. He did with intimidating a witness. That was it. Intimidating a witness. And all these people were going to court, and they were producing no witnesses. What the DA's office wanted you to do was to take the deal. You know, here, you know, you do 30 days worth of time, or you pay us X amount of dollars. But everybody that fought it and took it, you know, all the way to the court level, miraculously their charges were, like, dismissed. But he put that intimidating a witness on everybody to try to stall your stuff in court. And, you know, once again, that's abuse of a power of authority, in my, you know,
yeah,
the way I
but
look at
see,
it.
See, the thing is they'll find weak people that will make that deal. And as soon as you make a deal like that, you're telling them that you're guilty. You know,
yeah,
never
yeah,
make
exactly.
a deal. Never make a deal with a cop. Never make a deal with a judge. I am not fucking guilty, and I will fight you right down to the end.
Well, it's not that the person is weak. It's just a lot of them do not know their rights.
Well, that's the point. That's what I was telling
right.
Phil. I've been on the show on a few occasions, and
oh,
people have to start educating
to
themselves.
Right
well,
simple,
you know,
just,
I'm back in college. I'm going to be 43 in April, and I'm back in college. And you know, the way I was raised and the way the people have been taught nowadays are two totally different spectrums. And not to knock anybody, but I'm finding more of the young folks that I sit in class with are extremely ignorant and extremely foolish, and they don't know anything about life in general. And they're from this generation that's been given everything, you know,
yeah.
and they've never had to learn anything. And you know, I wonder if because they've implemented that you raise a child by a textbook standards, if this is what we're producing. Because none of the kids that I see at college, which are anywhere from 18 to what I call a kid is 25, they just don't have the insight to nothing. And I don't understand it. My father raised me, you know, you're a kid, you speak when spoken to, you mind your manners, you call everybody Mr. and Mrs., and he taught me life skills that, you
exactly.
know, I've passed on to my children. But some of these kids I see and I listen and I talk with in class, I'm like, my God, where did you come from?
Yeah. See, we are old school. You know,
yeah,
we
exactly.
are the backbone of it all. And, it,
well,
and
you know.
And if we don't raise our children like you did,
right now.
And I did, I was a single father with two children. And I'll tell you, my kids are the first ones to look at you in the eye when they speak to you. My son
exactly.
will open the door for a woman. My
exactly.
daughter will not take shit from a man. And my
exactly.
kids know the law. And I
yep.
make sure they know the law because, it's mind control. It's a federal way of mind controlling the children because
yep.
they're taught different laws and the parents don't know the new laws because they either don't live our lifestyle or else they're just threatened by everything because there's so many damn laws out there now. They change it every 24 hours. You can't
yep.
raise your kids anymore. Remember the days of the old, I'll smack you upside the head if you fuck up, son? You touch your children now, man, you get charged with assault and abuse on children, and then they wonder why the children today are a bunch of little fucking no minds, excuse my terminology.
No,
but
it's the truth.
Respect
it's
for
the
shit.
Truth. You know, I mean, some of these kids are there riding on their, you know, their parents' money. They're paying for an education. Some are there under, you know, federal money, but they're dingbats, and that's putting it nicely. And I'm like, my God, we're going to get these kids graduated. They're going to be off working in better than normal jobs because they're college educated, but they still don't have a clue as to what is going on in the real world. And
exactly. They would never survive on the streets.
Nope, exactly.
Do me this favor. I'm going to take a short break. I want you guys, Stacey, don't go anywhere. You're going to enjoy this. But I'm gonna share this with you guys. It's the many uses of the word fuck, and I'll be right back.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning's not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work.
And that is so true, man. It really is.
Yes, and in this family, Stacy's doing all the work.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You guys,
so I guess it wouldn't work if you said the fucking government is doing its job, eh?
Oh, my God.
Well,
that's a total...
Week.
Don't you just love that fucking Obama, eh?
Like I said, I'm from the Massachusetts, Rhode Island area. And, of course, like, you know, today they revealed Romney's taxes. Well, the man made $42 million in the past 2 years. He got taxed 13%. And if he goes in office, he wants to create this, I don't know, legislator, whatever you want to call it. I don't know the proper terminology.
Yeah, it'd be a legislation, yeah.
So he gets a 40% tax deduction. If he gets a 40%.
Yeah, I played some nice for you guys, and you miffed it on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. But if he gets a 40% tax deduction, who's paying for that? He's already paying 13%. And he wants to decrease it to 40%. So how do you do that?
Good question.
Exactly. You know, I'm like, how is that possible? How can he get such a deduction after making $42 million in a two-year time? And
well... Let me have a guy explain that to you. Hold on a second.
You betcha, buddy.
I'm gonna have this guy explain it to you.
No, this is your man Felonious Monk, man. I ain't been here in a while, man, but it's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not gonna do a lot of explanations today. It's gonna be a straight topic to the government. The United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook? A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh! Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your score, FICO score, your experience, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got it. It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now for a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. So you see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
That is one pissed off brother, man.
Hey, yeah. I got one more thing to say, and then I'll let you guys get on to somebody else before I tie up all the airtime.
Oh no, Stacey,
what was the interpretation you got from that, Stacey? What I just played?
Oh God, that the government's basically got it all and ain't doing the goddamn thing with it.
Yeah, that's a brother telling a brother.
Yep, exactly.
Get that right.
When I was in history class today, my history teacher, she's a hoot. She enlightened us on something. She said, there's something going on in China that you guys should be aware about. And we were like, okay, you know, lay it on us. She turns it on and says that China now has 3,000 millionaires. And because they are millionaires, they get, you know, a little bit of status here in the United States. The United States has asked them to come here to our country and invest their money. Now, they could come in and get their little green card, providing one thing. They donate $250,000 to the town or city area that they're moving to. And it goes towards, you know, whatever, rebuilding roads, somebody needs something done, whatever. They donate it to the city or the state, and they basically get the okay to come into the country. And what concerned my history teacher was the fact that, okay, so they have money, but what type of people are we allowing into this country? You know,
exactly.
you're basically giving them a free ride because they've got money to invest in the stock market and money to donate to the area that they're moving to. But you don't have a clue about what type of riffraff they're going to bring along with them.
Well, that as well. And plus, the money that they are donating to get that green card, like you say, is fucking tax deductible for them anyway. So they get it back.
Uh-huh.
See, Canada is the same way. You come out, you go to China, a Canadian goes to China, and he wants to move out there. You think they're going to get a fucking grant to start a small business, or a government grant to go to school, or, say, a disability because he's sick? You're not going to get a fucking dime. You might get a bowl of rice and a kick in the ass. They come out here, they have the right to a small business loan. They have a right to an education right off the bat. And us Canadians, you Americans, we got to fight for everything. And this is our fucking country, man. Like, what the hell is going on with that? And they wonder where all these cells are coming from. All these guys that are blowing shit up. All these Muslims not attacking the race itself or the religion. But, man, come on. It's the strongest religion, the fastest religion growing on the planet right now. And they are the worst. They're the first ones to fucking kill. Hitler destroyed the Jews. Do you know any fucking Jew that went around blowing up people? There's none in history. None.
No.
The only Jewish people that are marked for life are the ones that supposedly hung Jesus on the cross. Other than that, they're not terrorists.
Exactly.
You know, but like you say, what kind of trash, and I will say it, what kind of trash are they letting into the country?
Because
to run
doing
us. They're going to run us. That's the future government is those cocksuckers that are getting brought in by the government.
Yep, because if they're going to do that for China, then they're doing it for every place else. Anybody
that's deemed a millionaire status,
you know. And then that leads me to believe, okay, so you want two forms of people in the United States. You want the rich
and the
you
poor.
Want the poor, because there is no middle class. And the rich will rule and the poor will suffer, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know,
the only way
not
a poor person will not suffer is if he's controlled.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're trying to control people to make them weaker. And the weaker they are, the richer people are going to get stronger, and they're the ones who are going to point the finger at you, and they're going to say, you turn left, you turn right, you go straight, you're dead.
Well, that's like, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel that, you know, the United States as a whole has become a medicated society. Why do we have so much depression, this, that, and the other? Why are there so many people sick and on disability and they can't pull their head out of their ass? I firmly believe that, you know, it keeps the money in the government's pocket, of course, because of all the taxes and everything. But it's, if you keep society down at a dumb level where they're stuck in a stupor, they're not going to know how to pull their own heads out of their asses.
Well, exactly.
You know?
Like Phil and I, we discussed this. Like I'm a cancer survivor. I just fought for 9 years, and I'm 100%.
Oh, congratulations!
I'm 100% cancer free right now. They wanted me to take radiation therapy, chemotherapy, fill me up with fucking pills, and you know what I told them? I ain't taking nothing.
Wow.
I want to die. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die at home. I'm going to ride my fucking Harley until the very last fucking minute that I can't pick up my own bike. Then I'll know I got 2 feet of fucking concrete. And you know what? It was 100% positive attitude. Good friends like the people on this panel, people I've never even known before on Facebook, patting me on the back and going, you can do this. You can do this. I never let myself be controlled by the medical people telling me you need this, you need that, you need this. Because once they start feeding you pills and shit like that, your mind gets weaker. You think that's it. I am that sick to the point that I have to eat pills and this and that. And you're going to kill yourself. They're letting
yep.
you. It's population control, man.
I mean, just the antidepressants that, like, what, one in every three people are on antidepressants? The side effects to them things are depression, suicide, you know?
It's true.
It's like
a fact.
You have to find something
to believe in
yeah.
in life. That is the key to health.
Yep.
You have children that you love, fucking concentrate on them. No children,
yep.
but you've got 10 bikes, concentrate on your bikes. Concentrate
exactly.
on brothers like Phil. You have good people next to you. Stay positive and live for them if you don't want to live for yourself. And you watch how healthy you're going to be. You're going to pull
exactly.
out of it. I don't care if it's a cold, cancer, whatever. It's mind. Mind over matter. The brain is so powerful, people. And if we can beat cancer by ourselves, we can kick the fuck out of Obama.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's people that don't realize what's taking place with them, so they automatically go to a doctor. And what do all doctors do? Their advice is they keep writing scripts.
Exactly.
One after another.
Billion-dollar industry. Oh, you got
yes.
a cold. Well, here's some Sudafed. Oh, have
right.
some Neocitrin. Have this, have
well,
that. Meanwhile, it's
well,
killing the fuck out of your liver, your kidneys, and everything else.
That's just like there's a doctor in the UK, okay? And he treated, I think it was two basketball players and a football player here in the United States, because the United States, you're allowed to travel elsewhere for medical. And he treated these three major sports players with stem cells and that, I think it's that HGB, I think, hormone. That, and those three sports players were basically cured of their arthritic injuries, you know. But you come here in the States and the whole, you know, using a hormone and using stem cells and this, that, and the other to treat an arthritis is just not heard of. You know, they use stem cells and stuff for cancer and for different things like that.
Yeah.
But for arthritis, they'd rather let's, you know, clean out the cartilage, let's take the air out of the joints, and let's scrape a little bone. And they make you go for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 surgeries, and you get nowhere.
Exactly.
You know? And this guy said it, this doctor, I wish I could remember his name, he said it. He said, I have got the cure for arthritis. And he said, nobody will you know, basically look at it and say, hey, yeah, this one simple procedure actually works.
The FDA will never approve it.
No,
well,
exactly.
Well, the FDA is looking at something now on a few main ingredients on pure natural marijuana. Not the shit that we all add chemicals to get it
not
better.
Not hydroponics. You're talking nice dirt weed here.
Exactly. Nice dirt weed that they came up with some stuff for cancer patients. It started in Europe, and it's gone to South America, and I think they're going to start using it in Canada. And the United States is looking at bringing some on getting approval for it for 2013.
Here's the thing. Rhode Island got approved for medical marijuana, okay? The governor, everything, he was for it, the whole nine yards. The federal government comes in and says, if you open up any dispensaries, we're going to shut it down. We're going to raid it and shut it down. So
you've got a state
person, you know, the one key player in the state saying, you know, we need this, this will help people, et cetera, and it no sooner gets passed, because people got to vote it in, no sooner gets passed, they find locations for these dispensaries, and then the federal government turns around and says, no, you can't do this.
You guys have all heard the terminology BC Bud, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Victoria in British Columbia, this is going on 22 years now. They have a contract with the United States. They grow marijuana in Canada for medical purposes, and they ship it to the States. And I'm talking like multi-kilos at a time. But
if you
get caught with a little grow-op in your house because maybe your brother's sick with cancer or yourself is sick with cancer, you got two or three plants to smoke a little joint to get your appetite back, to relax.
You're allowed under California.
You are fucked. They hang you right there.
Yep, exactly.
Under California statute that followed, that everybody voted on in 1996, if I'm not mistaken, you can grow up to 25 plants at your house.
Yeah,
but you know something? I've seen things like on the news where they still go in and harass those people too. It's like they're looking for any little thing to debunk what they've unbunked, basically.
Yeah. See, in Canada, we have, you have it in the States too, the College of Physicians and Surgeons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's in the States as well. It's worldwide. Now, a Canadian, like say myself, I love my weed. I'm not growing anything, even though I am. But if, you know, you can fight with the government, you can send out letters, you can get that permission from the government if you go to the Canadian FDA, the College of Physicians and Surgeons, and now what they'll do is they'll register you with the RCMP. You will be entitled to grow so much. I can walk around right now with a quarter ounce in my pocket, as long as it's got the doctor's tag on it.
Yeah.
A little sticker you put on your bag, and it's not a dispensary. This is not you don't go and get your own weed from a doctor. You grow it yourself. Now what you do is you take a bud off that plant. They bring it into a science place, and they check it out, you know, see if it's hydroponics, see if it's too strong. Because a good hydroponic weed, you should do at least 3 to 4 washes, okay? You clean the roots out to get most of the chemicals out. And if they find it that it's too strong, they will deny you. But if it's, like Phil was saying, a good dirt weed that's nice and clean, if you have that in Canada, they will give you that right to carry up to a quarter ounce at a time. As long as you have your name on it, your address, the RCMP's number, registration number, the doctor's name, phone number, everything else, plus the number that the College of Physicians and Surgeons give you, they can't do fuck all. You'll find a cop that's going to try to charge you for it or whatever, but he knows he's going to lose in court. You're registered with the government. But that is so rare. You know, maybe one in 10,000 people will get away with being able to grow his own weed, and you're only allowed two plants at a time.
And
well,
I think
Bobby just gave me a new topic for a new show, Block Talk Radio, Pot Growers of America.
Yeah, well, you know something, I'm all for it. I really am, because it has a lot of good qualities to it. And not only that, think about this. You know, the farmers are selling off their lands because they can't afford to crop them and maintain them. why can't we grow hemp? Why? You know, that you can make clothing from hemp. You can fuel from hemp. You can do 50 million other things. And the farmers would be put back to work. We'd be doing something positive as a society for ourselves, not for everybody else.
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
No, but the government have big hemp companies going all over the place. In Canada, I don't know if you have that in the States, we have hemp shops. Bags made out of hemp, clothes made out of hemp, all kinds of beautiful things. I mean, it's the strongest fiber on the planet, people.
Yep,
hemp.
And the government is just like, no.
You're taking money
this.
From them. Why would they allow you to do that?
Exactly.
You can't even grow your own fucking tobacco, for fuck's sakes.
Well, that's just like it burns at me, too. You know, we've got fuel here in the United States. Why not put people to work digging that shit up so we can use it and not pay almost $4 a damn gallon? I know you guys in Canada are paying a lot more. But, you know, why not? Why not? Why can't we do it? Because they claim there's only enough fuel for 20 years.
That's a crock of shit.
Exactly. That's what I say. That's a crock of bullshit. It's because their money's tied in with all the other money overseas controlling all them oil wells that we're all fighting wars around, and that's just the way it's going to be. You know?
Well, yeah. See, it starts with weapons of mass destruction. That was such a cop-out. They weren't there to look for weapons. They were there to fucking plant the seed to get that fucking oil. That's all that war was about, was oil. It didn't have nothing to do with terrorists, didn't have nothing to do with anything else. It's a foot in the door, and soon as Bush got in there, that's it. Yeah, I mean, the war's over. Pull out. They're not going to pull out. They got the fucking oil now.
Yep. And now we got our hands over there in Iraq and Iran and stuff, and it's just, if it's not one thing, it's another. They got to find something to bitch about, I think.
Right.
Well, of course.
One country to another.
It's like the government say, well, actually it's, what's his name, the comedian, he's passed away now, Phil and I were listening to that, George Carlin.
George Carlin,
he calls it dick waving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, from one country to the other, they start shaking their dicks to see which one's bigger. Well, if one dick is bigger than the other, well, then we got to go to war, you see.
Yep.
Yep.
Whoever holds the most toys wins, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, George Carlin should have been president. That son of a bitch knew what the fuck he was talking about.
Yep.
That was my once burnt man.
Stacey, are you having fun? I told you this was an amazing show. And the guy here from Canada, he's funny. And he's always got something to say.
Yes, he does.
And he's always got something to say, her famous last words.
Am I the only Canadian on the show right now?
No, yes, you are. Oh,
okay, man.
I mean, talking.
I feel privileged.
Talking, yeah, but we had some other people in from there, too. But
Bobby
wanted to touch on, and I told him, I let him do it. And go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, thanks, Phil. So listen, there was some good news this week. Obviously, you know, the Supreme Court ruled against GPS tracking on vehicles, and that in itself is probably an hour-long conversation because of the case behind it and its potential to open up the doors to other mobile type of devices. So that, I mean, We bitch about a lot of things here, and sometimes it's good to bring up some positives. So whether or not it will actually be enforced is one thing, but at least it's something good. And then obviously, there was a significant loss of support for the Stop IP Act this week as well. And, so I probably don't need to go into that because it was covered by the mainstream media pretty extensively. I just find it rather interesting, though, that when commercial interests are behind some of these bills on protection, they seem to get a lot more traction. You know, they have a lot more influence and a lot more money, campaign hard or whatever. But other things, as just being able to maintain or just general rights, as far as the Bill of Rights goes, small groups like us, the small guys, don't get a lot of traction there. But anyway, I didn't really want to spend a lot of time for that. I know Phil wanted to talk about the potential for lane-splitting legislation, but before I wanted to get into that, I mean, something came up recently to me that really has me sort of on pins and needles, right? So, you know, on the New Year's Eve, Obama signed into law the NDAA, or the Non Defense Authorization Act, with the provisions for detention of U.S. Citizens without court or trial. And then, you know, I got a report a couple of days ago. It was a short video of a train coming through my local area down near Santa Cruz of all this military equipment. And it didn't look like jungle warfare. It looked like more like painted camouflage for urban warfare. And then there was a notice that went out in the media also about military exercises in Los Angeles this week, which are going to occur through Thursday. And this is not this is not obviously not the first time that they've conducted, the military has conducted exercises like this in urban areas. They've been doing this for some time, ever since, you know, 9/11. That's given them the excuse to do that. You know, whether or not it's, you know, the intent is to sort of a mock official application of martial law. But, you know, my concern is here is that, you know, in doing so, you know, it's such a conditioned citizenry for seeing, you know, the mobilization of police and military together. Now, some people will say, hey, well, that's, you know, that's sort of bypasses the Posse Comitatus Act. Actually, when you look that up, it doesn't really apply necessarily to the Army. It seems like certain other branches in the military have their own versions of what that is. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm really concerned about that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, big guy, you made a hell of a valid point, because here, I don't know if you guys know, like, I mean, your geography to that degree here. I'm right on the border of Alberta and British Columbia. Okay, I'm in the Canadian Rockies. And we're surrounded by mountains.
That's a beautiful country.
Oh, it's a beautiful country. And we have the same thing as what the brother just mentioned. We're on the highway about 3 weeks ago. We got about 2.5 feet of snow at the time. And it was a convoy. And I'm talking tanks. I'm talking all kinds of military vehicles. There was flat decks full of bikes. Everything you can think of. Camouflaged skidoos. Quads, and I'm talking like 50 caliber guns, anti-aircraft guns in the mountains. They're doing their exercises. But they've talked about martial law in Canada now for about going on 12 years, trying to push towards that, just to control a little bit of the population, because there's a lot. Just in Calgary alone, right now, there's over 300 gangs. And I'm not talking Hells Angels here. I'm talking little street gangs of Vietnamese, people from India. I mean, and it's getting crazy. I mean, Calgary is 1.7 million people now. When I moved out here in 77, it was only maybe about 425,000. But now, and we're only 2.5 hours away from Calgary, but you got all these army camps that are being built all around me. And they do these exercises about 5 times a year now. I've been in the mountains for 10 years. It was maybe once a year. Now it's 5 times a year. What is it going to be like in 5 years from now? Every other day? There's camps. I mean, they're building Quonsets in the mountains.
That's the thing that I was thinking of. You know, it's like, were they going to just start taking people off the streets? People are just going to disappear in the middle of the night, and they're going to be housed in these places, you know, that are being It's like the old, you know, the way the Russians used to be afraid of the Gestapo. You know, they would come in the middle of the night and take one of their family members out.
Exactly.
You know?
I've always used that terminology. Public control, population control, and it is in action. Population control has been around for centuries. Look
yes,
at the Japanese. You're only allowed 2 children. If you had a daughter, you had the right to kill that daughter so they didn't multiply.
Mm-mm-mm.
If you do your history properly, if you check it, you were only allowed 1 or 2 children. And then after that, after World War II, it was make as many children as possible.
So
let me. Okay.
What would she be doing about the about this? What can we do? Right. So there are a couple of measures. One was introduced by Congressman Ron Paul, which basically asked for a total repeal of the detention provisions. California Senator Dianne Feinstein introduced as soon as she voted yes on the Senate version, introduced another bill, which isn't a repeal at all, but it sort of covers a different form of an existing provision in another law. But, I mean, what's there really to do besides supporting those legislators? Could we appeal to those men in uniform to act on their own conscience about turning on U.S. citizens, their brothers, their families, their neighbors? I mean, it's like a time bomb, right? I mean, who knows if and when they'll ever call anything like this, but if they do, it's certainly going to turn this whole country on its head.
Oh, right? I don't think it's an if. It's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely going to happen because this world is being overpopulated, and it has to be controlled. It's going to have to be controlled. And how they're going to do it, they're not going to pat you on the back and tell you, oh, you got to do this. They're going to fucking make you do it.
Yeah, well, people are going to become afraid, you know, to walk down their streets and look at somebody the wrong way and fear that that person might talk to somebody who might talk to somebody who might know somebody that will come and take you out in the middle of the night.
It's happening now in Canada. Like in Canada here, the population, it's so vast and there's so many creeds and different bloodlines of everywhere. People are scared to talk about somebody else because I'll tell you, Canada is going to probably be the first country to have an explosion when it comes to racial wars.
They ought to have an explosion right now because I'm going to read you something.
Okay, go ahead,
Bob. This happened in Calgary. It was an Alberta sheriff. He used excessive force on a deaf mute cancer survivor. Listen to this. This guy was going to the courthouse. He physically accosted a sick and deaf Red Deer, Alberta man who was unjustified and excessive use of force. An investigation to the sheriff's actions is found. Bill Berry, a 52-year-old cancer survivor who is deaf, mute, and breathes through his neck with a tube, was paying a traffic ticket at Red Deer Court December 9th when the sheriff approached him, advising he didn't go through the required security screening when he entered the courthouse through an open exit door. Barry, who had total laryngectomy and a feeding tube in his nose, gestured he could not hear or speak, at which point the sheriff became more forceful and placed the man in a bear hug to carry him to the door where he collapsed to the ground. The details of the event are revealed in an investigation report obtained by QMI. Barry's thymus tube fell out and he was able to breathe until sheriff noticed and reinserted it. The probe conducted by the Solicitor General's Office of Law Enforcement and Oversight Branch in Alberta found the sheriff, identified as Thomas Bounds, you cocksucker, was lawful in advising Barry of his error, but unlawful in physically confronting the man without hesitation. Mr. Barry's general appearance is frail and consistent with a person who has endured serious medical condition, and any form of physical force used against him should be measured, the report says. Sheriff Bounds used legal and level of force against Mr. Barry was unjustified, excessive, led directly to Mr. Barry's stoma tube being dislodged and a resulting serious medical emergency. In an interview included in the report, Bounds told investigators he tried telling Barry he had to go through security and responded nonverbally by aggressively waving his arms, at which time I took control of him. I tried to transport wrist lock, but that was ineffective. I ended up carrying Mr. Barry through the exit door, he said in the report. He believed Barry's actions posed a potentially dangerous risk to the court occupants, and he was required to use force. But the probe found that he should have received a full explanation of his error and given a chance to leave, and video showed his actions were not aggressive. I simply made an error in walking into a fully open door and was brutally assaulted because I looked like an easy mark. I will live through the nightmare till I die. While thankful for the help from the other sheriff, he's going to launch a lawsuit. He says, I still find it appalling, and a 118-pound disabled hearing-impaired mute grandfather with a feeding tube in his nose and a breathing tube was treated in this manner, he wrote. What type of man does this thing? The Solicitor's General Office said findings will be sent to the head sheriff to determine the next course of action, which could include leave of pay, dismissal, or termination.
He would not say which actions have been taken against the sheriff, but such complaints can be placed on administrative duty.
Yeah.
Fucked up, man.
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I seen that video, and it was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I wanted to jump in the camera and just start boot-fucking this son of a bitch. And you know what? They did talk about what his punishment is going to be. And you guys are gonna cringe. He's getting a year and a half off, okay? He's getting a year and a half off the force with pay.
Oh, of course, with pay.
Full pay, benefits for his family, but he's not allowed to be carrying his badge or his coat or his weapon. He's not a police officer. He's on vacation with full pay. That's what his punishment was.
But how disgusting is this? This is somebody that is clearly disabled just going in to pay a fine. Why did they attack him in such excessive force?
The thing is,
he's
this man got attacked twice.
Yeah, but
the first time
it
happened twice in the same year. This poor guy. The first time was at the airport in Calgary. It was the same thing. One of the security guards was talking to him. He could not listen. He couldn't hear nothing. So he went to like it's like an electronic pad. So
right.
He wanted to go and pull that out of his coat. Well, he had guns in his face. They pulled out the Glocks, put guns in his face, restrained him, put him in handcuffs, and then, okay, the big apologies to the family and the media was there and everything else. And then that's when they hit him up in Red Deer, like Phil was saying. The poor guy got it twice in 1 year.
Unbelievable.
The chances are they could have killed him so easily, like dislodging the tube, like Phil was saying.
Right.
Why are you fucking with a man of that age? I don't care if he's young or not. He's clearly disabled.
Exactly.
If a guy's walking around with an oxygen tank because he can't breathe because of emphysema, what are you going to do,
right?
Remove it? Or kick the man out of his fucking wheelchair?
Unbelievable.
I understand.
Because he's seen as an individual with no worth and unproductive to society.
Exactly. The walking dead, they call them. They're not
right.
worth anything. What are you doing to society? What are you helping society? You're not helping society.
But it is unbelievable. I have two cousins that are mentally challenged. So even though they're grown men, they're like little children, okay? And my one cousin, he was harassed by, you know, police last year because the neighborhood kids set something up on him. And they used excessive drastic force on him and arrested him, not realizing he has the mentality of a 6-year-old. Really?
How can you not realize that? How stupid are you?
Exactly. And,
you know, I mean,
that's what is a shame. Wake
yeah.
up. Come on.
As much as that little conversation that Phil was just brought up when he read that about that guy, you know, it's just to show you guys how the Canadian laws are starting. They're so forceful now. Like I said, Canada's going to probably be the first country, neighbors to you guys, of course, that is going to explode because our laws are not really written in concrete. They're loose. They're all over the place. There's no control. I'm sorry to say I'm a fucking proud Canadian. I was born in Europe. I was born in Paris, but I was raised in Canada, and we don't have no fucking backbone. Nobody fucking fights for themselves out here.
So it's like Ted Nugent's song, Free for All.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I would rather be surrounded with the brothers and the patches and the good solid people than to be sitting around with some little fucking rich snob son of a bitch. Because you don't know who they are. You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know
exactly
what they think of you. When you're with your family, when you're with your brothers and your sisters, and you're riding together, you fucking know damn well everybody's got everybody's back, and you're protected.
Exactly. And they don't look at you any different just because they're having a bad day or whatever the case may be. We've all been there, done it, or did it better, whatever. It doesn't matter because in your group of friends, you're just yourself. Bottom line.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, it's a matter now. Everybody's at that. We're in an era that you have to protect yourself in every aspect of your life. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You protect your children. You protect your neighbor. You protect your grandmother.
You protect your friends.
Exactly. Like, I don't know none of you guys personally. And I'll tell you, the big guy, Ray, right now, the Canadian, would be the first one to fucking have your back. Because I know. I've lived on the streets. I fought for everything I own. I own two beautiful homes. And I'll tell you, they weren't given to me.
Right.
And I don't trust the government. I don't trust the fucking police. But I will trust my fucking red and white, I'll tell you right fucking now. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Amen to that.
You damn straight, man.
I'm
love my brothers.
Sorry, Bobby. We kind of snipped you at the nose there. What were you going to say? Bobby? Is he
Bob, are you still there?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, we didn't mean to snip you at the nose. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Very passionate conversations. It's good to hear others who sort of share the same thing. The unfortunate truth is, we understand ourselves that within the brotherhood of motorcycle clubs and the community, there is a foundation of support, sort of inherent within those. And of course, we go to war. I mean, it even sounds like, we have the potential, have the platform, the foundation already for, built-in militia type thinking, even in the groundswell here. But the government knows this too, right? And they've, for several years already, have already been trying to educate and promote the idea through the general population and using programs like TSA's If You See Something, Say Something, and FBI is going to stores where you would buy provisions. Well, it's sort of interesting that you have an organization like FEMA, and it's designed to help everybody understand what needs to be done in the case of an emergency. Out and you get water, right? You got to have money, generator, preferably provisions. But when you go out and try to collect those type of things, you got agencies like the FBI handing out pamphlets to stores and supply stores and even tattoo parlors, whatever, saying that if you see these type of individuals, here are the type of things you need to look out for in terms of being suspicious, and then report on them. So, they're very Nazi-esque in the way they're trying to use everybody and every type of tool on the planet to report on citizens and their activities, correlate them into some form of domestic terrorism.
You create mass paranoia. You create paranoia. And once again, it's what we talked about a little while ago about there's going to be two forms of people. It's going to be people who have the authority and people who don't. And that's just the way it's going to go.
No, 100%.
Well, regardless of what the laws are on open carry, it's like, it's more important than anything not to surrender your arms. I just got to say that.
Never, ever surrender your arms.
Amen to that.
You know, if you can have a beautiful cash or gun somewhere buried in the ground, fucking go for it, because I'll tell you right now, you're going to need them.
Yep.
I'm not saying that. I mean, the whole world's getting ready to blow up in our faces, but I'll tell you, there's a stink in the air. So don't turn your back to it. Prepare yourself.
If you have waterproof ammunition, you're going to jail.
Exactly.
If you have more than 14 days of food in your house, you're going to jail.
That's ridiculous.
And nobody can say that it's not a controlled communism party going on. Of course it is. Communism is the one that controls everything. They've always been known to control everything. They censor your radio show. They tell you when to eat, basically.
Yep.
I mean, it's just totally insane. And if, the word revolution, people seem to forget that word. A revolution is something that comes back in your face. Nobody learned from World War I. Nobody learned from World War II. It's always going to come back in your face.
Oh, yeah. History repeats itself over and over.
Exactly, because people are ignorant and they don't want to learn. Like, how can you not learn something after World War II?
Exactly.
Well, hey, I was told that
it's... Go ahead.
Man, we all have so many great things to talk about here.
but history will continue to repeat itself until you get it right. It's almost like a sixth sense, so to say. It's like, okay, you got it wrong this time. You're going to do it again.
Nobody will get it right because, like you were saying earlier, darling, people are scared to talk now.
Yep.
So exactly. how the hell are you gonna put a Band-Aid on something if people don't know where to put the fucking Band-Aid? There's too many wounds.
Where the government lies, right? A new president comes in, they Band-Aid from the previous president. Then they go and do what they have to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the next one that comes in, they put a Band-Aid on it. So that is why. History keeps repeating.
But
it's
like they reuse the same fucking Band-Aid. It's
exactly.
After a while, it's not going to stick anymore.
Exactly.
Well, there's always
That's a better analogy.
I mean, you can use a little piece of duct tape, man, but other than that, you can't use the same Band-Aid over and over again.
Yeah, but like I said, it's a different analogy, but it's the same scenario.
Exactly.
You know, as Stacy was saying. And we all feel the same. What's going to change? Because every new person that comes in is going to repeat and do the same. They promise. What changes? Nothing. We are in a depression. We are at an ultimate high on people not working. The housing and foreclosures alone is outrageous.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not the government that's going to change those people. It's us that has to change the fucking government. And that's when the explosion is going to start. Because the people are going to say, you know what? We're done with government. And it's going to have to come to a head one day.
Yeah,
the governments are not doing anything. So we're going to have to take it upon ourselves. And then that's when people are going to start fucking fighting each other.
Right, but how long? That the homeless suffer, the people in foreclosure suffer,
exactly.
The middle class people suffer, the disabled
suffer. There is no more
middle
class.
The military personnel, they suffer when they come back. How many more people have to suffer before it comes to their head?
Exactly.
Let me lay this one on you. Think about this. What I'm going to read right here. It's from Thomas Jefferson. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the change of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The second will not become the legalized version of the first.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell.
Yep.
Well, I haven't been, typically very political during my lifetime, but you know, I'm out on a limb here. And if there's a current candidate that has the principle, who's been speaking about freedom for well over 30 years, that at least I feel more comfortable with in giving the reins of power to, would be Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah, me too. But like what was said earlier, he'll be dead and buried before all of his beliefs, ever come to light or come into play. But he has some awesome ideas, but the thing is that it will never happen.
We're not talking about, it's not a man, it's an idea.
Exactly.
Right? It's an idea and it's a movement whose time has come. The idea of freedom and liberty, which has been pretty much in suspended animation or dormant for decades, is finally now on the table. He's at least brought those types of issues where political candidates have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the youth, there was a discussion earlier about the youth, but there are also very smart, youthful, people who are young. They've gone in and they've seen the problems, they see the deficits, they know they're going to be stuck with them, and so they're gravitating to the idea that, freedom brings people together. Free markets allow, things to move freely, jobs will be created. Now, I'm not going to go on a tangent on the platform, but I will say this. So even though Mr. Paul, and this is very smart, because even he knows that he's getting old, and even if he doesn't necessarily make it, he's got the brains to say, what is going to give us the biggest bang for the buck and keep these ideas on the table for the next generation? Well, he goes about his campaign actually accumulating delegates. So even if he doesn't get the nomination, he has leverage, with the nominated candidate to potentially get, and I'm maybe going on a limb here, maybe to get his son, Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, you know, as vice president and keep this movement alive, right?
Exactly.
So we can get the right person in. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah.
But,
like he's bringing it to the table, and it's a wonderful thing what he's doing. And like you guys say, he's got the power. But I forget the lady that I'm talking to here on the panel.
Stacy.
Yeah, exactly. Like like she says, he won't make it. But you know, if he can get the ball rolling, but it falls down to freedom again. The government don't want you to be free; they want you to be fucking controlled.
That's the thing. They've got all the control, and we're a controlled
exactly.
society.
Exactly. Like I mean, the word freedom is such a beautiful word, but does it exist anymore? Seriously.
Well, if we can get a collective mindset on the notion that career politics or career politicians has run its course and doesn't work, and force a mandate to like oust the vast majority of I say nannycrats out of
mm-hmm.
there,
yeah,
and keep the legislative body to limited terms, the people who with passion go in there and get the job done, knowing that they're not going to be there long enough to develop business interests and all this bullshit, right? That would be a way to go, but people really have to sort of collectively get together and say, who's going to do the right job for us? This is a campaign year. Who's the right president in the office? Who are the right people in Congress? Because they're at an all-time low, guys. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody knows, you know, it's no surprise that their numbers, people look at Congress and the Senate at an all-time low. Well, fine. Do something. If you don't want to go out there with gun in arms and fight back, you have the power still, at least for the moment, to vote. You know?
As Americans, do you guys honestly believe that Obama would be reelected?
No.
Well, you know something? I do, because the Republicans right now look ridiculous, you know, and unfortunately, the way I think things will sway is that nobody's going to trust the Republican Party at the moment, because all they're doing is bashing one another and not getting to talk about any big situations that are going on. They're just, you know, tit for tat. And you're going to
look
at that.
Wait. The big issues is that that Newt Gingrich liked a Hummer and wanted his wife to be a.
Oh, right. Or like Romney right here in Massachusetts, where I'm at, you know, with his $42 million salary in 2 years, you know, and taxes and all this other baloney. I think people are going to look at, do we go with this or do we just sit comfortable? And unfortunately, because we're all creatures of habit,
they're
going to
go with comfortable.
Comfortable, exactly,
yeah.
Because you're going to say, well, there's some stability here. He did do this.
Bullshit.
He did do that. And the whole other side is all in an uproar over stupid stuff. And we're a conditioned society.
Yeah. There's no happy medium anywhere. I mean, I'm looking at it as a Canadian point of view, looking at my brothers and sisters in the States. And, you know, I'm not always politically correct, but I'm looking at it as a Canadian, and I see chaos in your country coming. You know,
I
really do, because, like you say, the comfortable side. The uncomfortable side and the poor bastards. Why do you guys have, and us too, of course, why do we have people starving in the richest country in the world, supposedly, the United States, the strongest country in the world, the United States? Why are there hungry people starving on the fucking streets?
I say that all the time. It's how can we send all this money over to Fiji and all these other places, and
exactly, can't even
TV
fucking feed
benefits
your
when we've got our own people dying in the streets due to one simple thing. They have no food, water, or shelter. And
remember the word
alone.
I said earlier? Population control.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like
so
in Canada, they're thinking
perish.
About, and this is going to pass in the next 10 years or so, no more burials. People will have to be cremated. They don't want that anymore.
It's
they don't
already,
want to
it's already
they,
beginning.
They don't want to poison the ground anymore.
Yeah, it's already beginning, because like every other person I talk to now who's had somebody passed away, the words out of their mouth is, oh, they were cremated.
Yeah.
And it's
but
also
in,
a cheaper
in Canada,
way
they
of
want to pass that law. No more.
Wow.
No more cemeteries. Everybody will have to be cremated in the next 10 years from now.
Wow.
Well, you know, just
I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. But I wanted to, this guy's got the right opinion on this. This is my Uncle Ted.
Go, Teddy. My Ted Nugent, man. I don't know if you guys ever seen that video clip where he threatened Obama's life.
Yeah.
No,
it was
I
on
haven't.
YouTube?
Nope,
yeah.
I didn't see that.
Simply amazing, man. Did that boy? That man speaks his mind, I'll tell you. And he told him, he says, if anybody's going to shoot you, you son of a bitch, it's going to be me. And that's exactly what he said on live TV,
and man.
And,
that man's a dead shot, too. He knows his
Oh, he's an amazing hunter. He comes out here in the Crow's Nest Pass where I live. And he's got the third biggest grizzly on the world record right now. And he got it right back here. He's got some property out here.
Nice.
But, I'm scared for the future for my children and everybody else's children because, I mean, we're going to see a lot of shit. I'm 51 years of age, and I'm going to see a lot of shit before I go. But what are our children going to see and our grandchildren? Like, I mean... I got tears in my eyes when I think about that sometimes, you know, like, holy shit. Bottled water, controlled everything. Everything is that you're told what to do, man. Like I said, you can't even piss against a fucking tree without getting a ticket. Like, what the hell? You know, it's when it blows up, people, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. And like I said, if you can get a good cache of fucking guns, man, fucking do it. You're going to be protecting yourself, your family, and your loved ones because... people are going to be knocking down at your door for something to eat. That's how bad it's going to get, I think.
This right here
is
the last one.
And when that comes into play, it's going to be the strong will survive, and you ain't going to give what little you have away.
Well, I'll tell you right now, this guy ain't giving up shit.
Yep, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a fight for the reward.
This is from his concert last August.
Program Ted Nugent expressing his feelings towards Democratic presidential contenders Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Here's his other one.
I'm amused by your reaction. You're still fucking hilarious.
I'm not amused. It's hilarious. I'm on a rock and roll stage. I just saw sang a song about feisty. I mean, you got to be kidding me. On a rock, did you ever see Richard Pryor live? How about Sam Kinison? How about Lenny Bruce? I'm one of them. Get over it. That's some funny
for a man who is a patriot, to love his country. That was quite shocking disrespect.
Well,
let me
put it in official CNN Piers Morgan interview term. Shall I?
Yes.
My limey friend?
Yes.
Anybody that wants to disarm me can drop dead. Anybody that wants to
man.
Yep.
People that want to literally create the proven places where more innocents are killed, called gun-free zones, we're going to beat you. We're going to vote you out of office or suck on my machine gun.
Yeah,
you can take it whichever
way
you
want. I'd love to suck on your machine gun. The whole point of your defense is that a lot of people do drop dead, precisely because
you are armed to the teeth. Not and you would like everybody else to be.
Not true.
80 people.
Write this down. See, you're so
no, you write this down. 80 people a day die in America from gunshots.
And 75 of them to 78 of them, statistics by the Uniform Crime Report by the FBI and the UN Study on Violent Crime, 78 of those 80 are let out of their cages by corrupt judges and prosecutors who know that recidivism is out of control, know that they'll commit the crimes again, and they let them walk through plea bargaining, early release, and programs.
They still
kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fucking right.
Yep.
That
yep.
man knows this shit because that is so fucking true.
Gun control, you have the highest crime rate. Peers, choose one. Do you want a lot of crime? We have it. Gun-free zones. Do you want less crime? We have that. More people with concealed weapons permit. Why do you guys resist that statistic?
What do you mean, you guys?
It's you guys. No. Well, unless you're playing the devil's advocate.
I can play any advocate I like.
You're doing a fine job. Right. You're playing the advocate here. More guns equals less crime.
You're
period.
Right. Let me, unless I'm wrong, and I don't want
to
kick, I'll
be sure to let you
kick your ass at this point, if you don't mind. Unless I'm wrong with your argument, well, you're basically saying that 90% of the gun crime comes from people that are
96%.
Right, right.
But they still have access to
freeway. You want everyone in America to own a gun?
Not at all. I've never said that.
What's
See,
your position?
And I got to tell you. You
what
you,
is your position?
And I hope you don't edit this out. Whenever I've done interviews with guys that are inclined to be anti-gun, they always go, well, you want everybody to have a machine gun. Nugent wants all the deer dead.
What does Nugent want?
Not even close.
What do you want?
What I want is the Second Amendment. We the people, free individuals, to have the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense.
Exactly.
End of story.
That is so true, man. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's such a simple law. I mean, this is, like they say, a God-given law for you guys to have the Second Amendment. And now they're pulling it away from you, man.
There was a there's a town, I don't know if it was in Alabama or Texas, where they made it mandatory for one person in the home to own a gun. Well, the crime population dropped down to like zero because, you know, everybody who lived in that, it was either a town or a small city, something, that lived in that residence knew you bust into somebody's house, there's somebody in there that owns a gun.
Exactly.
And they, personally, you know, I feel that every household in America should have the ability to say if they want a firearm or not in their home.
Yeah.
And it should be just like a mandatory thing.
Well, it should be, definitely. Like say, my old city of Calgary, I lived there for over 30 years. A lot of people, a lot of crime, of course. Now I'm 2.5 hours away. West of Calgary, right on the border of BC and Alberta, in the mountains. Everybody goes hunting. Everybody's got 30-06s, pistols. There's no fucking crime here.
Yep, exactly.
Somebody wants to come and knock at my door, you're going to have two pit bulls, me, a gun in your face. Nobody comes and knocks at my door. Nobody even comes to my house unless I tell them to phone first. And that's the way it is out here. But that's, and then I brought up the army trucks and everything. So why are they coming over here? You know, they know people here are stable. They know the crime rate is down to basically nothing. Everybody's got 4 or 5 guns in their house at all times. So now it'd be a perfect little place to set up a little army camp to start doing some training. Why? I think it's because it's a door. It's an easy door for them to use. Because they're not going to start building army camps in the middle of the city, okay? That's not going to happen. So now they're just on the outskirts of Calgary. Everybody's got weapons. Everybody abides by the law. Nobody's out here breaking the law or nothing.
Right.
You know, but it's a perfect seed. It's a perfect seed to start something, you see.
Yep.
It's too comfortable. Like you said, the comfortable life. I'm in a comfortable life. Well, they're going to fucking try to take that away from us.
Well, that's, you know, once you're comfortable, you hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, and you kind of like turn your backside. You know?
Yeah. See, I'm a street guy. I'm a city man that lives out
Me
in the
too.
Mountains now. Like, when I first moved out here, I mean, I still got hair down to my belt. When I got off my bike, the very first time I got off my bike 10 years ago, people almost shit themselves. because there was no bikers out here. I mean, we have our HA club in Lethbridge. We have our chapter in Calgary. But in the mountains, I was the only long-haired motherfucker that carried a gun out here. Like, you mean on myself. Everybody else had hunting guns in their house. But, man, when I got off my bike, people literally stopped drinking their fucking beer looking at me. My little brother's going, this is my older brother. He's from Calgary. Don't fuck with him. You know, he's a good guy, but don't fuck with the guy. You know, and people tested me. I dropped a few here and there, popped them in the face, whatever, made my, you know, I made myself known. Now I'm respected. Nobody fucks with me. I don't fuck with them. But now, like I said, now the government's going to try to move in here because what they're trying to do is, I'm sure you heard of the provincial park, Banff, in Canada. It's the biggest provincial park in Canada. It's owned, three quarters of Banff is owned by the Chinese, and the other quarter is owned by Germany. We don't even own our own provincial park anymore. It was bought out. They bought it. We don't own it.
That's
in our
crazy.
Own country. It's not our park anymore.
That's crazy.
And they want to do this in the Crow's Nest Pass. Remember the name, Crow's Nest Pass, Alberta. Look at it on the map. You're going to see how beautiful this place is. And now that's what they want to do, is make this into a national park. With army camps?
Yeah, they're going to be safely tucked in the mountains.
Exactly. You know, that's
you know?
What I'm saying. This is a beautiful pile of dirt. Now they've just planted a fucking seed in the middle of it.
Yep.
What kind of tree is going to grow from it? What kind of weed? We don't know. We're just kicking back waiting to see what the fuck is going to blow up in our faces. And we're,
whatever
I mean,
is,
I'm only 45
good.
Minutes away from the Montana border. We're right here.
Right.
You know, I'm your neighbor, man. We're right here. So if it's going to touch us being right in the Rocky Mountains, it's going to affect Montana. It's going to affect everybody. I mean, it's just a back door. Canada is a back door to possibly World War III, the way I see it.
All right. Well, hey, what I'm going to do is we're going to call it, and I invite you guys to come back Thursday.
All right, Phil.
Cool,
thank you.
All right.
Hey,
I'm going
to
take it.
Nice talking.
I'm going to take
this out
with a little accent. All right. No worries. You're welcome anytime.
Okay.
Right,
it was
bye.
Fantastic talking to all of you. I love you. And please, man, take care of yourselves. Okay.
You
same here. You take care of yourself.
Bye,
you betcha.
Y'all.
We'll
love
talk
you.
Again.
Bye, Stacey. Love you too.
All
bye.
Right. Love you. Take care, Phil.
Love you.
I'm gonna take us out with a little Forever Angel.
Right on, brother.